Good evening, everybody. I'm blessed to be here again to share with you from God's Word. And last week we looked at the third point in the points of Calvinism, which is limited atonement. And this is the element in Calvinism that gives most believers who are not reformed in their theological thinking a hard time. Last week, we shared with you Romans 9, 6 to 29, with the emphasis on the sovereignty of God. And what I have found in my teaching and in my study, that most people who have a problem doctrinally with the Scriptures, the problem usually is not the doctrine itself. The problem is their understanding or lack of understanding of the sovereignty of God. Once you come to grips with the sovereignty of God, that is, who God is, and what our relationship to Him ought to be, most of the other theological problems sort of fade away. Because God is the supreme boss of this universe. I'll put it that way. He's big boss in charge of everything, including you and me. So the problem is not really with limited atonement. The problem is with the sovereignty of God. If man is totally depraved and election is unconditional, then it follows logically that the atonement was limited to God's elect. We shared with you last week from Ephesians 1, 3, and 4, that we were elect in God before the foundation of the world. How could that be? Well, it's because God decreed everything that would happen in this cosmos before it happened. And God's decrees will come to pass. He will do whatever He decides to do. And I know it's a quirk of my own, a little personal quirk, but I hate to hear preachers say God wants this and God wants that and God wants the other thing. And I know that they do it innocently, and they're not usually not setting forth a doctrine. But my God, the God that I serve, does not want to do anything that He does not do. God accomplishes everything that He wills to do in His decrees. He has decreed the whole course of this cosmos. Before you were born, God knew when you would be born, how you would be born, how you would be raised, where you would be educated, when you would come to church, and when you're going to die. Oh boy. Well, a lot of us have problems with when we're going to die. You have just as much time as God will give you, no more, no less. So we're just sharing with our brother before we started tonight, that one of the texts that really helped me through a difficult time last year physically is 1 Thessalonians 5:18, which says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." One of the reasons you need to memorize Scripture is because when you're really down, the Scriptures will lift you up. If you memorize them and and lean on them and quote them and pray on them and think about them. So what I want to do tonight is to share with you some of the things that the Arminians, or people who deny limited atonement, think, because most of them, or many of them, are serious Bible students. For those of you who went through the Bible study course with me, I tried to explain to you that there is only one right interpretation for every passage of Scripture. There are many applications, but only one right interpretation. The Bible interprets itself, and the Bible is its own best commentary. Now, after we get past our understanding of the sovereignty of God, issues like this come up. There are many issues that Christians have. Some are pretty serious and some are minor. But because someone disagrees with you does not mean that they're not saved. We can disagree without being disagreeable. Meaning, underneath that, is that you need to know why you believe what you believe. Do you believe that the atonement was limited? Why do you believe that? Do you believe that man is totally depraved? Why do you believe that? Do you believe that election is unconditional? Why do you believe that? I have tried to convey this to the students that I was privileged to teach. Almighty God gives us what we need when we need it. No more, no less. You will walk with the Lord for a long time and see a passage of Scripture that is like, where did that come from? I never saw that before. But at any rate, we need to come to understand that our understanding is somewhat limited, and this is why we need the truth of the Word of God to keep us on the right track in our thought processes. What about unconditional election? Beloved, that's one of the most blessed doctrines in the Scriptures. Because if it wasn't for God's electing grace, none of us would be saved. Because nobody seeks after God. Now, what I want to do tonight is to show you, and we're going to have to go through the Scriptures because I want you to see this, why so many people in the Christian community reject limited atonement. First of all, they see the text in Scripture that uses the word world, the world. Well, are these texts talking about the whole world? Or is the word used in a limited sense? Let's look at John 1:29, the Gospel according to John 1:29. John 1:29 from the New King James says, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him. He said, 'Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" Now, if Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He died for everybody. No? You disagree? Well, let's look at another one. Let's look at John 3:16. This is probably the most popular verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world, the whole world. Okay? How about John 6:33? John 6:33, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to what? To the world. So, the people who hold to unlimited atonement, or who deny limited atonement, are doing so on the basis of these texts and other texts that I'm going to share with you. Look at 6:51. John 6:51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give him is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Let's look at Romans 11:12-15. I need to bring my old beat up Bible in here. I can find things a lot quicker in it. But it's so beat up, I'd be ashamed to carry it. Romans 11:12. Now if their fall is riches for the world, and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? What I'm pointing out to you here is that the text says, and it's talking about the fall of Israel, if their fall was for the world. So Israel rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, but what Paul is saying here is that their fall was for the world. Look at the next verse I have here is verse 15. For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? So the people who hold to this position are not holding to it without scriptural evidence, but the evidence that they're using is taken out of context. The Bible over and over again uses words like world and all in limited or different senses. And as we discovered in our Bible study courses, the context is what determines the meaning of the words in the various texts that we're studying. You have to set it in context. I'll tell you a little story about context. When my children were small, before they got to their teens, we lived in East Orange, New Jersey, on Elmwood Avenue on a hill. And on rainy days, my children would get on the front porch, and we had a screened-in front porch, and they would remark about the cars passing up and down the street. And if the car was really something nice that they liked, they would say, "Oh, that's bad." Well, another car would come down and say, "Well, that's bad also." But what they were saying is that it was a good car. But they said it was bad. But that was the lingo of the children at that time. When they said something was bad, what they really meant was it was good. So we have these kind of idiosyncrasies in the Bible also. The Bible was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but men wrote the Bible. And they don't always use words in the stricture of their meaning for us when we come at it. We can look at some other text. How about 2 Corinthians 5:19? Second Corinthians 5 is a glorious chapter. This is a chapter that tells us to be, while we're at home in the body, we're away from the Lord. 5:19 says, that is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Now, we can go on with this, but what I'm going to share with you is that the people who hold to unlimited atonement, that the atonement was for the whole world, usually believe that man's will is free. And we talked about free will. If your will is free, you can make every possible choice. If there's one choice that you cannot make, your will is not free. Now, if someone came along and barred the windows and doors for this building, we could do everything inside the building that the building afforded us an opportunity to do, except go out. Well, now, if you can't go out, you're not free. You're confined to the building. You look at a bird in a cage, a bird can fly around in the cage, can drink the water, can eat the food and all of that, but the bird can't get out of the cage unless you open the door. Well, it's the same thing with man's will. Man's will is under the control of Almighty God. God has given us the ability to make choices, but all of the choices that we make are under his control. Proverbs 21:1 says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he will." The king's heart. Your heart's in the hand of the Lord also. Man's walk before the Lord is determined by the Lord. Now, man is a free, valid, secondary agent. We make choices, and we're responsible for the choices that we make because God has made us responsible. That's another hard one. It's hard for us to get that. But I showed you last week in Romans 9, that the potter has power over the clay. The potter has a big mound of clay here. He decides to make a vase to hold flowers out of this clay. And out of the same clay, he decides to make a slop jar. Now, some of you don't know what that is, but there was a time when the bathroom was not in the house. And when it wasn't in the house, we had slop jars to keep us from having to go outside at night. So, but out of the same mound of clay, the potter makes these two vessels. What does the clay have to say about that? Nothing. Right, nothing. Another word that is used by the Arminians and those who deny limited atonement is the word all. All does not necessarily mean the whole thing. Sometimes it's used in a very restrictive sense in the scriptures, and we're going to see that. Romans chapter 5 and verse 18. Romans 5:18. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. You see that? All men. This is one of their arguments. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men. That much of it is true and can be taken literally because Adam was the federal head of the human race. But resulting, all men resulting in condemnation, so all are condemned. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Oh boy. Well, what does this mean? If you look at the beginning of 5, you'll see there, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The Holy Spirit is given to us, enabling us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and if the Holy Spirit is not given to you, you can't believe. Oh boy. Oh boy. Is that hard or what? It's true. It's true. If you're here, beloved, and you're trusting the Lord Jesus Christ for your eternal salvation, the Holy Spirit came into your heart and allowed you to believe. Otherwise, you wouldn't believe. Now, the problem that develops from these two words being misused is the Arminians come close to being universalists. Now, they don't like that term, and they all deny that they are universalists, but they come close because of the misinterpretation of these texts that they use to prove their point. Universalism means that Christ's atonement was for everybody. They have a misunderstanding of man's will, thinking that man's will is free, so man can choose to believe in Christ, or he can choose to reject the gospel, without really thinking that what they are saying if they say that man can accept or reject the gospel, is that man has power over God. That's what they're saying. Now, they're not going to articulate it that way, but that's precisely what they're saying. If I can decide for myself whether or not I'm going to accept the gospel or reject the gospel, I've got power over God. Yes, sir. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, God said, I will not give my glory to another. And not only is this attitude robbing God of his glory, it's also robbing God of one of his primary attributes, the attribute of just lost the word. omniscience. God is omniscient. He knows everything. So you really can't hold that kind of an attitude without being a robber of Almighty God. And that's pretty serious. Very serious. Now, let's look at a few more verses where all are used. Let's look at 1 Timothy 2, 4, and 6. 1 Timothy 2, maybe next time I'll bring my old Bible with me. All right, 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. I'll go back to verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. See that, all men? God desires all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now let's look at verse 6. Who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. So these people are not off the wall biblically. But the problem is they're not putting the text that they use in context. That's the problem. If they would put it in context, then they would see that the Bible speaks over and over again about God making a choice. God chose, out of all of the people in the world, Noah, to build an ark. When Noah was told to go on the ark, and incidentally, it took him 100 years to build it. When Noah was told to go on the ark, Noah and his three sons and their wives went on the ark. There were 8 souls on the ark. Out of all of the people in the world, those 8 souls were saved. What does that tell you about atonement? Well, you might say it doesn't tell me anything about atonement, but yes, it does. It tells you that God is very selective in whom he chooses to save. Why did God call Abraham instead of somebody else from Ur of the Chaldees to be the recipient of the covenant of grace? He chose Abraham. Then he chose Isaac. Then he chose Jacob. And if you study the life of Jacob, you'd say, my goodness, why did God choose this turkey? But that was God's privilege. God chose, he decided to choose Jacob. if you are saved, God chose you for salvation before the foundation of the world. That's remarkable. I have some other texts here, and you can look these up on your own. I think my brother sped the clock up before I got here tonight. But he does that every week. I don't know. But if the word all was intended for all men, then all would be saved. Now, Jesus did not come to save everybody. He came to save God's elect. And we, I think this Sunday you're going to be preaching 4 to 6. You're going to hear the sermon from Ephesians 1, 4 to 6, that God deliberately determined who would be saved before the foundation of the world. Now, that's the God we serve. That's the God who is, not the God that some people conjure up in their minds. That's the God that we need to bow down to and worship and praise. The other thing, the third class of passages which seem to militate against the idea of limited atonement consists of those which are said to imply the possibility that those for whom Christ died fail to obtain salvation. Well, you see, this goes back to the free will issue. The gospel was presented to them. Christ died for them, but they decided not to accept the gospel, so they're not saved. My. But, beloved, you know, we sit here and shake our heads, and you know, we think that that's pretty awful. But there are a lot of people who are born again who really trust Christ for their salvation who believe this. They believe this way. And they believe this way because they're not being taught what the Bible really teaches. A lot of men get into the pulpit and preach what they think the Bible ought to be saying instead of what it actually says. Because they have a bunch of people in the church who are going to get up and leave if they really preach what it says. How many of you have been to other churches other than this one that really preach God owns you? You have. But that's odd. That's not the common situation that you come into. To preach what the Bible says about salvation is not popular. Because the Bible says you either believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him completely for your salvation, or you're going to spend an eternity in hell. That's hard. Nobody wants to hear it. Everybody wants to be buttered up. God loves you. God loves you, and God has a wonderful plan for your life. Oh, yeah? God doesn't love everybody. We shared that with you from Romans 9 last week. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. We can do with that. Got to do something with it. But very few preachers will touch it. In fact, Romans 9 is the most neglected chapter in the whole of the New Testament. So, this third class of people think that everyone has the ability to accept Christ if they want to. And it leads to universalism. Man does not have the ability to circumvent God's purpose in salvation. From God's perspective, all who are to be saved were saved from before the foundation of the world. God decreed that you would be saved if you are saved before he formed the world. My. That's what the Bible teaches, and that's who your God is. Your God is one who has control of everything in this world. And you say, well, why is there so much evil in the world? I don't know why there's so much evil in the world, but this I do know. The Bible says that God is going to be glorified in it all. How is he going to be glorified? I don't know. I really don't know. Yes, sir. Could you tell me what I didn't quite get it. Before the foundation of the world? Yes. Everyone who is to be saved will be saved before Christ comes back. Did we have a meditation on that?
About Christ's second coming. Yeah,
second coming of Christ. Jesus will save everyone who is to be saved. Now, the gospel is to be preached throughout the world. And this is the last point that I have on here with the people who have a problem with limited atonement. They say that, or they believe that we cannot freely offer the gospel. Since we believe that the atonement is limited, we can't offer the gospel to everyone. But that's not true. Because the Great Commission says, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. Those who believe and are baptized will be saved. Those who believe not will be damned. We can absolutely, biblically present the gospel to the church, knowing that some people in the church are not saved. And some people in the church may not be saved, but we can offer the gospel freely if we do it biblically. Now, we can't reasonably offer the gospel if we are doing it from the perspective that God loves you no matter what you do, no matter how you live, no matter what your thought processes are, God loves you. Well, that's not true. It's simply not true. In the Sermon on the Mount, you have an ominous text there. Matthew 7:21. You might want to look that up. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I'll declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me. That's in the Sermon on the Mount. So, if we're going to really do what the Lord charges us to do in the preaching of the gospel, we can offer the gospel to everyone. If we understand that people cannot accept the gospel unless the Holy Spirit is working in them. We need to understand that. But the charge that we can't freely offer the gospel is a false charge. We can. We understand what the gospel is all about. The gospel is that the Lord Jesus Christ came from the glories of heaven to this sin-cursed earth to be sin for us on the cross. I can make that a general statement, and that's true. He went to the cross and atoned for the sins of God's elect. He was buried, and he got up again. Hallelujah. If you believe that, you can be saved. If you don't believe it, you're going to be damned by God. That's the truth. And I don't see any reason why any preacher can't preach that. It's the truth. I know people don't want to hear it, but when the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, out of all of the people that followed him, masses of people that followed him during his earthly ministry, he had 120 people there who were in the upper room. And those 120 people turned the world upside down in 300 years. That's what the gospel can do. And if the gospel was really being preached today, I believe that this society in which we live would be a much better society. Because if the gospel were preached in all of the churches where people go to church, they'd never come up with this homosexual marriage thing. This abortion thing would be done away with. But these things prevail because the church is really not doing what it's supposed to do. And that is, the church is supposed to preach the whole counsel of God as it is written in the Bible. Now, our time is almost up. I'll attempt to answer any questions that you have. If you have any questions or comments, yes, sir.
Lots of churches who they're not preaching limited atonement, they're also not anywhere near universalism. You really have to take a lot out of the Bible to get the universalism. The passage you read about the goats and the sheep, pretty much the whole book of Revelation, you know, it's a long jump from some kind of version of Arminianism to universalism. So I do think there are churches out there that, though they're not preaching limited atonement, they're nowhere close to universalism.
Well, limited atonement is so thoroughly covered in the Bible until you can't preach the whole counsel of God without mentioning it. If you're going to present the gospel, you have to present the gospel as it is in the scriptures. And the problem today is that most churches do not hold to the inerrancy of scripture. We live in a relativistic society, and many preachers have bought into relativism, and they think that the Bible was true for those who received it first, but it's not necessarily true for us. So we have to rely on sociology and psychology and humanism in order to get a message to the people in these massive churches on Sunday. And we've got to walk up and down with the Bible, making points that the Bible's really not making. And it's awful. It's really awful. But we also need to remember that the church was started and is run and is directed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus knows what's going on in all of the churches. And the book of Revelation talks about the angel of the church being held in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is a good place, comfortable place to be. But Jesus can turn his hand over. And what happens then? He turns his hand over. They all fall out. The seven letters to the seven churches in Asia Minor, out of those seven churches, only two of them had no censure. Two out of seven. It's not a very good percentage. So, you're right. Yes, sir.
It seems hard at first that God would choose to get out of that conference.
I would choose to answer the question on the basis of sanctification. There are a lot of Christians who are Arminian dispensationalists who come out of it after a long period of time. There's some people in the Roman Catholic Church who are really saved, and they come out of it after a while. So, you know, we can't say that people are locked into this thing. Some of them are, I guess, but the wonderful thing about the way we're made is that we can change. And that's a wonderful thing. And I think that we should pray that those people who are off base biblically with their understanding of biblical doctrine, we should pray that the Spirit of God would give them clear understanding. Okay? Yes, sir. Well, the problem is that the church is acquiescing to the society. And our society says it's got to be bigger and better. It's got to be bigger and better. If you look around and you're in touch with a number of pastors, you'll find that there are pastors today who have been preaching to a handful of people for years. God has not been pleased to expand their ministry. Well, God doesn't call us to be successful. He calls us to be faithful. And if we are faithful, then we are successful. But because you got shoulder room only in this church does not mean that the church is being faithful. It means that you've got a bunch of people here who are hearing what they want to hear. But when you start preaching what the Bible says about salvation and about your walk with the Lord, be ye holy, for the Lord your God is holy, they don't want to hear that. And when you start talking about the sin of abortion, when you start talking about the sin of cohabiting outside of marriage, when you talk about homosexuality being contrary to the word and will of God, people don't want to hear it. So what do? They leave. They go someplace where, I talked to a pastor once about, I was trying to get him involved in the anti-abortion proposition in New Brunswick. And after I explained to him what I, you know, was trying to do, he stepped back and he said, "I don't touch that. I don't touch it." What he was saying to me is that he believes that he's got people in his congregation who are into these sins, and he don't want to make them feel uncomfortable, so he doesn't say anything about it. And before you know it, see, this is why it's so bad for a church to compromise in anything. Because if you compromise in one thing, the second thing is a lot easier. And then the third and the fourth and the fifth, and before you knew it, you got an organization that's just another social organization. And we've got to quit now because we're 5 minutes over. He speeded the clock up on me. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we bow before you in recognition and realization that you are a sovereign God, that you determine everything that will happen to us and through us. And we thank you that you have revealed to us that the Lord Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven to atone for our sins on the cross, to be a propitiation for us. And we can't thank you enough for that, but we do, as best we are able, render praise and thanksgiving to you for your sovereignty, for your holy will, and for calling us out of darkness into the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we have been called into the light, we pray that you would enable us to walk in the light. Remove all of the darkness from us and help us to proclaim the gospel as it is in the Word of God. We do thank you, Lord, for this church and for its leadership, the pastor and his family, all of the members of the church and those who are in attendance. And we pray, Lord, that it might be pleasing in your sight to so grace us that we might walk uprightly before you and before the world in such a way that others might see Christ in us and be drawn to you. We thank you for these times of Bible study. We thank you for the freedom that we enjoy to do this without the fear of being persecuted. This freedom does not exist everywhere. So we thank you for allowing us to do this. And we beg you to look favorably upon us, forgive our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and hear our prayer. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.